He just starts chanting it in different ways. And his life starts to change. He feels more and more impelled. I want to find this Lord of the universe. But where is he? So he leaves Vrindavan to search for the Lord of the universe. So just like the Brahman, he doesn't understand the mantra. Actually, he doesn't understand that he is already there in the place of the Lord of the universe. He is chanting the mantra of the Lord of the universe. And if he just keeps chanting the mantra of the Lord of the universe in the place of the Lord of the universe in Vrindavan, he's going to realize the Lord in due course of time. Just like the Brahman, he thinks, I've got to go. He becomes inspired. I want to find the Lord of the universe. So he's making advancement, but still he is confused. So he leaves Vrindavan. Leaves Vrindavan and makes his way somewhere to the banks of the Ganges. There he finds one Brahman, devotee, who is worshipping a Shalagram Shila. So here we are, we're on point two with Gopa Kumar. There is this one Brahman worshipping a small Shalagram Shila, his personal deity, and he's not a mendicant. He lives there, but he's not a wealthy man. So it's very simple worship as some just quite, you could say, materially ordinary type of devotee would perform. Nothing elaborate or opulent at all. Simple worship. So Gopa Kumar hears the conch shell blow. He sees the Brahman worshipping the Shalagram Shila and runs over and asks, what is this? Pointing at the Shila. And the Brahman says, it is the Lord of the universe. Gopa Kumar thinks, I've done it so quickly. It didn't take long. I have found the Lord of the universe. So he becomes very excited, ecstatic. That Brahman gave him some of the Charanamrita and some of the other remnants of the little offerings that he was making to his Shalagram Shila. Put him in a box, the Shalagram Shila, closed the box. Gopa Kumar was horrified, completely shocked. Said, you're putting the Supreme Lord of the universe into a box. What an inappropriate place. He hasn't even eaten properly yet. How is he going to sleep if he's still hungry? And just becomes too anxious, overwhelmed with anxiety. So that Brahman, he was a very nice devotee, humble devotee, and in a very sincere way he apologized and said, you know, I'm so sorry. It's just the best I can do. I'm just a very poor person. And there's nothing more I can do. But if you would like to see the Lord of the universe worshipped in a more opulent and more fitting way, perhaps, more glorious way, a higher level of worship, then there is one king living nearby. And he is a great devotee. He has in his palace grounds, there is one nice temple, and he is maintaining the worship there of one beautiful deity, and there's fantastic deity worship going on there. So you just go there. But before you go, here, take some prasadam. Gopikumar offers dandavats several times, apologizes for not having time to take prasadam. He's too anxious to see the Lord of the universe, and just goes to that kingdom. So he ran into the temple. There he saw a deity of four-armed Narayan being worshipped very nicely, very opulently. And what a beautiful deity, not just in a certain sense a little stone, but you could see all the features of the Lord, and dressed very elegantly and decorated so beautifully, so fittingly. Gopikumar was just so happy, he collapsed, thinking, now my life is a success. I have found the Lord of the universe. So he stayed there. He just stayed there. He just lived there in the temple. The devotees sort of befriended him and adopted him and gave him prasadam and whatever necessities he required. But he just kept chanting his mantra. All throughout, he's chanting his mantra. So, then a very remarkable... Well, all the time he was just watching the deity while chanting his mantra. Then something extraordinary happened. He became attracted to worshipping the deity. So he learned how to do that. Actually, it's coming from the mantra, really, from his chanting. So then a really extraordinary thing happened. The king, who had no son, he became attached to Gopikumar. He would come to the temple every day. There would be Gopikumar, this ecstatic devotee, just so blissful, just doing so much service, so nice. The king became attached to Gopikumar and adopted him as his son. After a little while, the king died, and Gopikumar became the king. Yes, by fate. Providence is rather amazing sometimes. He became the king. So what did he do? He turned the whole kingdom into a festival. There was nothing but festivals for the deity. It just became, life became one big festival for everyone in the kingdom. He used all the kingdom's resources and all his own resources as the king just to glorify. It was just a permanent Maha festival. It was like that. It was really incredible. But there were some problems. There were some neighboring kings who weren't devotees. They didn't like him. Sometimes he heard rumors they were going to invade his kingdom and stop the worship. So he got into anxiety. Sometimes the emperor, there was an emperor above him. Sometimes he would demand
taxes and things, and Gopakumar was disturbed to some degree sometimes. But there was a worse thing. There was a thing much worse. Can any of you guess what was that worse thing? Sundarananda Prabhu. Oh no, he didn't lose his desire to worship the deity at all. He didn't have so much time. That wasn't the worst thing. He didn't fall down either. He definitely didn't go anywhere near falling down. The worst thing was that sometimes some very respectable and high class and actually slightly snooty people, snobby people, would sometimes refuse the prasadam if perhaps it had fallen on the floor or something like that. Or some lower caste people had touched it, or something like that. Some of these high class people would refuse the prasadam. So he says, this was like darts shot into my vital points and caused me great disappointment. So this was the worst thing. He just couldn't tolerate this. But still I had no desire to leave the Lord, whom I had long desired to see, and whose personal association I had now obtained. However, one day, some pilgrims came from the south. This is all up in North India. Well, it would have to be, being near the Ganges. Anyway, some pilgrims came from Jagannath Puri, and they told Gopakumar, King Gopakumar, that you should see Lord Jagannath. And they told him that the prasadam there, that there are rules, unbreakable rules, which everyone has to follow, that even if the prasadam falls on the ground, people still have to take it. Even if it has been left sitting for days and weeks or any length of time, still it has to be respected. Even if some lower class person or even if an animal has touched it, still it is no less. And everyone accepts it like that. When Gopakumar heard this, he thought, wow, I want to go there. And those people said that the inhabitants there, the people who live there, are such great devotees. They said, even the donkeys have four arms. Well, of course, donkeys have four arms anyway, but I think it means they have some extra arms. So, you know, maybe they have six arms, something like that. But they're like inhabitants of Vaikuntha, basically. Everyone is like that. And in Chaitanya Bhagavat, there's a description. Lord Krishna tells Lord Shiva that in Jagannath Puri, everyone has four arms. That even when you're sleeping, lying down, it's considered dandavats, prostrated obeisances. When you're just walking to the shops, it's considered holy parikrama. And he says, even, believe it or not, even if the people there eat fish, it is not different from taking prasadam. Anyway, that is what it says. So, but these devotees don't say that in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, but basically they say that the prasadam is very special and the devotees are very special and the deity, Lord Jagannath, is just the most incredible deity. with his blooming, blooming indicates wide open lotus eyes. You've never seen anything like this. So Gopakumar quickly hands over the kingdom to some other relatives of the previous king and exits to Jagannath Puri. So now he's in Jagannath Puri. He races to Jagannath Puri. When he arrives there, he just goes, as he's racing to the temple, he offers dandavats to everyone on the street. He races into the temple screaming, "Now I have perfected my life. Now I have found the Lord of the universe," causing quite a commotion until the guards beat him with sticks. Then he becomes a little more composed. So now he's there in Jagannath Puri, and sure enough, everything is even better. Yeah. You know, it's better on the level of deity worship on that level. You get the idea? You know, on the level of it being the abode of the Lord, he hasn't sort of tuned into that so much. There's a deeper level to it, as there's a deeper level to Vrindavan, which he left looking for the Lord of Vrindavan. But he sees on the level of deity worship, on that earthly level, this is better. So he lives in the temple. He's very happy. Then one day, let's see what happens. Well, he's chanting his mantra unstoppably. One day, he sees his spiritual master having darshan of Lord Jagannath. Then he himself looks at Lord Jagannath, becomes entranced. By the time he comes out of his trance, his spiritual master has gone. But a few days later, he finds him on the beach, chanting and dancing in ecstasy. So then, his spiritual master tells him more about the mantra. He tells him that through chanting this mantra, you'll receive whatever your heart desires. Well, he already told him that, basically. But he says, this is another way of serving Jagannath. You should have faith in this and never give it up. In other words, he implies it is a better way of worshipping Jagannath, actually. Then he gives Gopakumar three benedictions. Says, by the potency of this mantra, may you live a very long time. Second, may you always keep the appearance of a cowherd boy. And may you develop the appropriate mentality for realizing the mature fruit of the mantra. So even though they're in Jagannath Puri, the guru is into the mantra. So three benedictions. May you live a long time. You always keep the form of a cowherd boy. And may you develop the appropriate mentality for realizing the mantra, getting the fruit of the mantra. And what is that? That is Madan Gopal. Yes. So actually, his guru has followed him there. And it's all part of the process for bringing him back to Vrindavan. And this is why, when Jana Sharma, the Brahmin, meets him, that he's still a cowherd boy. on the basis of this benediction. So then, his guru tells him that you will see me from time to time. I think 5 times, in fact, they meet. Anyway, from time to time, he says, I think 5 times, we'll see. From time to time we'll meet, sometimes in Vrindavan and sometimes in other places. And then he disappears again. So now Gopakumar is depressed in separation from his guru. And he's also feeling separation from Vrindavan. As he chants more and more, he becomes more and more attached to Vrindavan. Although he doesn't understand exactly how it's all happening or why it's happening. You know, one aspect explained by Sanatana Goswami of this third benediction is that of maintaining or developing a suitable mentality for realizing the mantra. One aspect Sanatana Goswami has explained is that Gopakumar remains ignorant. Wherever he goes, he doesn't know about it until just the moment before he goes there practically, or just immediately before he goes there. He's never heard of Lord Indra, doesn't know who he is. Lord Brahma, Brahma Loka. He knows nothing about these people or these places. So therefore, there's no impediment in the sense of some knowledge being an impediment. So his ignorance becomes like an asset. Anyway, let us just try to quickly finish this. I'm sure we can do it. So he is yearning and yearning to go to Vrindavan. Now, then, a very remarkable thing happens. The king dies. His son has become a renounced devotee and leaves home, refusing to be the king. The ministers who visit the Jagannath temple every day and see Gopakumar, and Gopakumar has become a bit of a prominent person there in the Jagannath temple, they look at him and they recognize in him some signs of suitability to be a king. So they pray to Lord Jagannath to reveal who should be the king. In a dream, Lord Jagannath tells them, Gopakumar. So Gopakumar becomes the king of Jagannath Puri. So what does he do? He turns the whole place into a festival. Same program. It just goes, the whole Jagannath Puri becomes one huge festival. Everyone goes totally overboard. But still, as he's chanting his mantra, he's feeling attracted to going to Vrindavan. Then Lord Jagannath does a very extraordinary thing. Lord Jagannath sows the seed of dissatisfaction with Jagannath Puri in the mind of Gopakumar. Gopakumar sees that there is a group of devotees who have a special relationship with Jagannath, which he cannot have. These are those special, anyway, some special devotees born in Orissa. They are, anyway, they're described as special Orion devotees. They come and deal with Lord Jagannath in incredibly intimate and personal ways. And he, even though he's the king, he's not allowed in. So he becomes a little uptight with these devotees. Yes. He felt a little jealous. So, at the same time as the king, he found he couldn't render as much devotional service as he wanted to, and he became frustrated. Then one night, Lord Jagannath appeared in a dream and told him, Mathura is more dear to me than Jagannath Puri, because it is my birthplace. So you should go there, and in due course of time you'll see me there in the form you desire. So then, Gopikama hands the kingdom over to some other relatives of the previous king and goes back to Vrindavan. And that is the end of the first chapter. I hope we didn't race through it too fast. Any comments or questions? Yeah, well, that's a good question, good point. That normally we associate Durga with just material desire and fulfilling people's material desires and dragging them away from Krishna consciousness. Or, you know, we don't normally hear about her helping people, as she, in this case, is described as having done. But anyway, she does sometimes. And that was mentioned in the first part. Who was it? Was it Lord Shiva? Or was it Lord Brahma? Was saying that Durga and Shiva have both helped people become devotees. Give liberation, that's another thing. But I think it's Lord Brahma says that both he and his wife, they make people into devotees. And Sanatan Goswami gives as an example in the case of Lord Shiva, the Prachetas, and in the case of Durga, he gives the example of Jana Sharma. He's a Mathura Brahman. You know, there's also some significance in that. In other words, he is like a latent devotee, really, but he's become deviated. Yeah. So that's also a consideration. But it is a fact. The point in principle is that sometimes Durga helps people to become devotees. Not often. It's rare. Yeah. But this is a point that I think it was Lord Brahma made, that sometimes she helps people to become devotees. So in this case, this is an example. How do we understand Gopikumar and the Brahman? The Brahman is becoming liberated. Gopikumar has already become liberated and is explaining how he became liberated, more than liberated, how he went back to Godhead and came to the level of love of God. The Brahman appears to not be qualified, but it appears that Durga felt he was qualified in terms of his character and, you know, like that. So therefore she gave him the mantra. And it appears that he chanted it offenselessly because he made advancement. Yeah. Prabhupada ki jai.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
We've written a few headings on the board. Gopikumar is really going to get around a bit today. Back from Puri to Vrindavan, from Vrindavan to Indraloka, to Mahaloka, to Tapaloka, and then to Brahmaloka, and then back to Vrindavan. And Sanatana Goswami says, this second chapter describes the glories of Swarga Loka and the other higher planets in the universe. Inward meditation on the Supreme Lord is compared to external vision of Him, and devotional service is compared to liberation.